Last week we left off on some things. We were crap. I said that last week then. Yeah, laugh. Okay. But anyway, you got your chuckle out this morning. But anyway, we've been recapping some things about the ambassadorship of being ambassador of who we are in Christ Jesus. And we left off with the law and grace principle. And a lot of you came in at this time where that was in lesson 8. I'm going through it rapidly so we can continue in the last 18 lessons of an ambassadorship course. And once again, if many of you are in the Grace School Bible, have been through Grace School Bible, you understand that this is the third year of what you would have in the third year. But we have worked through Romans, we have worked through Ephesians, we have worked through now ambassadorship. So we're doing some wonderful things here. God is doing some wonderful things through you, through the doctrine. And I thank you for that. Last week we looked at some things that grace says, look to Calvary and see how much God loves you. Okay? It's a free gift. Okay? From God. Romans chapter 5. Go to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 and 2 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith unto His grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of God. We're standing. We have access. We have faith. Philippians chapter 4 talks, we stand in the Lord. Ephesians 6:10 says, in the Lord. So when you have your faith, it's based in who? In the Lord. Amen. It's not in the preacher. It's not in yourself. It's not in your spouse. You can have, I tell people all the time, you can trust anybody you want to. Watch who you put your faith in. You put your faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. And it's the faith of Jesus Christ that keeps us in Him. And therefore, those verses alone, when I stand on them, I know I can't lose my salvation. If you think about those things, and a lot of people deem their doctrine on that. But chapter 5, verse 15, but not as the offense, as also in the free gift, for if though the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abound unto how many? Many. Amen. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is the many offenses unto justification. Verse 17, for if by one man offense death reigned by one, much more they which received abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. That's a gift. That's a free gift that Jesus Christ gave us. And many of us understand the first five chapters of Romans and the fact that it is about justification. So when you look at Calvary, you see how much God loved us. Amen? And as you work down through our, we come in the fact that grace is the motivation power of God. That's what motivates us to do what God's will is. Okay? It's not a works program. It's not a law program. Okay? Believe me, if we put ourselves under law situations, we're going to be doing it. You know? We're going to do it or else. Think about the laws around you. And all, you know, the speed limits and all that stuff. Many of us hates that. You know, many of you rides motorcycles and stuff. You go down to, you know, in West Virginia, guess what you got to do? You got to put a helmet on. Okay? And many of you are like, I don't want to do that. And you drive 5-10 miles into the state there thinking, okay, time to put my helmet on. But the thing is, they do have laws. And grace teaches us, and as you understand the love of God has for you, it impacts your service to Him. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 says, the love of Christ constrains us. Okay? This is a result of grace motivation, of Bible purity. Grace teaches us to do what? Deny God. Amen. That's what grace teaches us. It don't teach us continuing ungodliness, but it teaches to deny it. And we looked at, before we looked in Colossians, and as you read Colossians chapter 1, verse 19, down to chapter 2, There's twofold passages in there about our ambassadorship. The first part explains to be able to teach and preach the gospel to every creature. Okay? And the second part of it teaches us preaching into a believer regard to right division, to the saints. God wants the saints to know the riches of the glory of this mystery. You know, last week I shared a little bit about how angry I was about these universalism. You know, and I'm going back and forth. And he says, it's God's will to have all men saved, and God's will is going to be this, and God's will is going to, no matter what, when it's all said and done, God's will is the fact that Satan's going to be saving all the lost. But let me ask you something. What's God's will? Okay, well, will all men be saved? You know that. Now, one thing I do know this, and it reaffirmed my faith, is the fact that God never violates your free will. Did he violate Adam's free will? What did Adam do? He disobeyed God. That's what Adam did. So God didn't say, No, he let him do it. So that tells me that God never violates your free will. So when you reject the counsel of God, that God sent his son to die and bury and rose again, you did that. God just lays it out for you. So that tells me God's will is to do what he went out, the purpose and everything. If you're saved, he will do that purpose. Amen? Then we looked at some things like that. The power of God's grace. In this, I'm going a little fast, okay? So just bear with me. There's food back there on that table, and I'm ready to get to it. Now, God's grace, the power of God's grace, we mentioned this last week, the acknowledgement of dispensational truths. You have to acknowledge it, people. You know, if you don't, then you're just spinning your wheels. You can ignore it all you want to. You can, you know, I shared a couple weeks ago about the boy that said, in the name of Jesus, that gun won't go off. You know what happened. The boy is 6 feet under today. Okay? At the same time, I know a gentleman that's he's not having a baby, but his wife's having a baby, and there's no bone in the arm. The intestines is outside the body, and the heart's going crazy. You know, and they already tested it in the fact that it may live 5 minutes, it may live 5 days after it's born. You know, and I'm talking with him, and he understands what I explained to him about the gun. It's borderline cult, the way they believe. But what he was sharing, you know, is much in line with the fact that he can talk to God about divine intervention and all that stuff. But at the same time, I'm sharing with him, you've got to be a good witness of what God says. You know, can the next 4 months that baby turn around? Good chance, aren't they? Many of you shaking your head. It can, you know. Doctors made a lot of mistakes, you know. But anything, I'm looking at these things. That's why I told him when I sit across the table with him and seen the tears coming down his eyes when he explained about his baby. The fact I said, you see why now I'm a dispensationalist? That you kept, you know, making fun of me. I said, you know, in the name of Jesus, you know what I'm talking about. Is that biblical, people? Okay, very good. It is biblical, but is it dispensational? And when many of us are no, it's not. So that's why I explain to him what God is doing today, and that comes along with God's will. God will not violate your will. You can ask God for anything, and I told the guy that. I said God can do anything he wants to do, but I do believe this: he don't do anything outside his word. We have His Word, what He does. Okay? That's why you better understand the right and rightly divided. Amen? Understanding the dispensation of grace. Understanding it by knowledge. Get the knowledge down there. Not just head knowledge. The guy I'm dealing with universally, he's got all the... He can quote dispensational truths up and down one side, down the other. He can probably outquote the best preachers that I know of. It's just head knowledge. He's never allowed that truth to get down in his soul to make the decisions. Now he's being tossed to and fro. And believe me, universalism, Calvinism, all that stuff, it's nothing new. So if you're trying to find things out, what Paul, if you get bored with Paul's message, You know, I'm spending a lifetime just scratching the surface of Paul's message. Some people just get bored with it, and they go on and try to find other good things that they can share. Did Adam have a belly button? Was there dinosaurs on the ark? You know, yeah, we laugh. I've seen masterminds of biblical scholars in meetings after meetings, and they get together and they talk that stuff. And I'm just scratching my head. You know, that settled that when I was third grade. You know? But anyway, Sunday school class. But anyway, number two, continue by faith to acknowledge the doctrine. By faith you have to acknowledge this doctrine. And it's a constant reminder, isn't it? Constant reminder you got to be in this doctrine. Then God energizes the truth of the doctrine in the believer, which will produce fruit to God's glory. Then we were looking down through there, the four divine operating aspects to the Lord's equips the believer. The Lord equips us for some things to make us perfect, our souls, and perform our ambassadorship. Y'all with me? God does that work. And it takes that word coming off that page and into your spirit and down in your soul, and that's what makes the difference. That's what Paul talks about, sound doctrine. And we talk about this all the time. Did Moses have doctrine? What's doctrine?
Teaching.
That's what it means. Teachings. It's teachings. I never knew these big words to become a dispensation. Like, doctrine? What doctrine? Okay. I was like, you're throwing these big Bible words at me and I don't understand what they are. But it's teaching. John the Baptist had doctrine. Lord Jesus Christ had doctrine. Didn't he not? And people will stand on what Jesus Christ says more so than what he commissioned Paul to tell you to say. And they stand on Moses too. The written word of God, they identify it with. You have to identify it. The inspiration, the preservation, the right division. You know, what you got to stand on, people? The written word of God. Indwelling ministry, the teaching of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit indwells you so he'll be able to teach you. You know the passages in 1 Corinthians 2:6 talks about the Spirit searches things, right? The Holy Spirit's your teacher type. Then you have bishops and pastors and teachers and all that authoritative and accurate communicate of sound doctrine. You know, I know some of you sniggering, and Ed, sometimes you can't say thou without messing it up, but hey, it's my responsibility to communicate this sound doctrine, okay? Elders, deacons, and all. You communicate sound doctrine. That's what Ephesians chapter 4 tells us. Then the local church. The local church is to learn the practice and the application of grace in your details of your life. The living doctrine. This is a living classroom. It really is. And many of you go in science labs and stuff. Don't you break down stuff in science and biology and all that? You break. That's living, isn't it? That's what the local church is all about, the living. Then we talked about the three stages of sanctification. And don't get upset with this when I use this term sanctification. But the fact is, once you're saved, the initial sanctification, okay, is the fact of, what is that? Talk to me a little bit. Your position, or when you first get saved. Okay? The initial sanctification is, Bob had it correct, initial is your position in Christ, and you're blessed with how many spiritual blessings?
All
spiritual blessings. And you're complete in who? That's your standing. Okay? We know that once we trust Christ Jesus, died for our sins, and buried and rose again, He takes you positionally and places it in Him. And you can't get out of that. That's good news. That's good stuff. Okay? That's initial thing. Then what we call progressive. Number two is progressive sanctification. Share with me what you think that is.
Your walk.
Your growth. Edification. Edification. Okay? It's progressively. You're learning. And the fact that you're here in this earthly condition of the world, aren't you not? Okay? You know in your mind and your spirit where you're already at. So that should progressively, as until you take that dirt bath, if you will, You know, from the time you were saved till you stand over and putting a 6 foot under, or he takes you out of there first, you're progressively working out your sanctification, being separated from who you are in Christ on this earth. Create in Christ Jesus into what kind of good works? Not only all, but yeah. Oh, yeah. Thank you. Good works. And God will perform this until the day of Christ. He is, that's why it's very important to get that word in you, and so it can energize you by sound doctrine. So you'll be able to walk worthy. Okay? Y'all hoping that'll sting me, won't you? Okay, look. But anyway, in other words, you're a child of God and you should act like you who you are. Not to become, but simply who you are. Let grace motivate you. Okay? And you progressively walk and you talk and it makes a difference. And then you have the ultimate, what we call number three, the ultimate sanctification. What do you think that is? That's what we call the rapture. You're taken out of here. That's ultimate. When you're taken out of here, wouldn't that be the ultimate setting apart? That's my hope, people. You know, you many of you have plenty of hopes, you know, but that is my ultimate hope, and that's my drive. If you take that away from me, which a lot of people will, saying, that's what the Thessalonians problem was, wasn't it? Hey, it already happened, you're still here, ha 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 ha. You know, that type of thing. And Paul says, there's no need for me to write of you these things. I told you these things, that such and such and such happens. That's what 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 down to 12 explains that. Then we talked about our prayers and how to put on and put off. And we warning, we're in Colossians chapter 1, verse 28. Go to there for a second. Colossians chapter 1, verse 38. Excuse me, 28. Colossians 1, 28. So when you become an ambassador, I tell people all the time, once you saved, you're no longer yours. You know, when Jesus Christ bought you, he paid the price of blood. He paid substance for your soul and spirit, and you're no longer yourselves. And I have to remind myself that way every once in a while. You know what I'm saying? Who am I living for? My wife, my kids. That's nice. But as an ambassador, don't I have a responsibility? Don't you have a responsibility? Yes. Yes. Even more so now, because more now you know the Scriptures and right dividing and understand it's your responsibility. Yeah. Verse 128. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in who? See, we're supposed to warn every man and teach them that we're perfect in Christ Jesus. There's a danger. Danger, danger, Mr. Robbins. Never will. Danger. If we have warning lights going off on our dashboard, we pay attention to that, don't we? Yes. Now, I know the young lady in here didn't one time, and the brakes started smoking and all that stuff. You know, cost about $300-some to replace those rotors. But anyway, warning lights. You got to teach our children at a young age what to do and what to look for. But we get mad sometimes that you did what you let that happen. But Dad, you never told me anything about this, and then you feel about this at all, you know. But so we're supposed to be able to teach and warn people. This is the negative side of the ministry. God did not call you to be a policeman nor excuse sin. Then we looked at the teaching aspect of this passage. It's the positive side of taking sound doctrine. Put on, put off, put on, put off. What are you putting on? What are you taking off? Yourself. So you get yourself out of picture and put Christ on. Then we looked at the goal of ambassadorship. The goal is warning and teaching is to perfect the saints and worthy to walk, produce fruit of righteousness until God, a glory of God. Works He ordained that we should walk in. He ordained you to walk in some things. We was talking about ordination a while ago. You know, I desired the office of a bishop. And in 2005, I got ordained. And by doing so, these men knew they was sending me out to do the work. And we didn't waste no time. We put Canton Grace Fellowship on the map, if you will. You know, thanks to you guys and all, it's God's work here. Amen? It's not Ed and Cherry's, or, you know, JJ's or Dan's or Jack's or Bob's or Leon's. It's not that. It's the work of the ministry, okay? And the Word of God renews the mind of the believer by re-educating them. Many of you got degrees in here far more than I ever reach in my life. Many of you are far advanced in your own lives and your own ministries and your own education far more than I ever be. But you know who you have to meet when it comes to right division. It's renewing, isn't it? Man, you're constantly renewing your mind. You've got to constantly keep your mind, your spirit in that, because guess what? You'll yield your members over here or you get over here. And we'll talk about that in a few minutes. Then we looked at the Word of God that transforms you. The believer's behavior by renewed mind. Then the Word energizes the believer by sound doctrine. You get that sound doctrine and it makes a world of difference. You know, I pick on my helpmeet quite a bit, but sometimes, you know, she's more gracious than I am. And then sometimes it's the opposite. I'm more gracious than she is. But there's a medium there. Sometimes she reminds me of who I am. Now, some of you men may sit in a, huh, she shouldn't tell you that. I'm not saying she's telling me. She's reminding me who I am. You know? And that helps. Because it makes me sit back and think, like, uh-oh, maybe she's right. You know, and let me get this old bullhorn off of me, that type of thing, old bullhead. Then the Word strengthens the inner man through the Spirit. That's what the Word does. Then the passage is the fruit that the believers of life that only grace can produce. There's three phases. Go to Titus chapter 2. Now, we're recapping a lot of this, I hope it's not going too fast, but at the same time, it may be renewing your mind a little bit on some things, because there is a test after this. And you can take it home, and you can look at it, and you can study it. And
did you make copies?
No, I don't have no copies with me today. That was going to be the excuse, but dog ate it. But anyway, Titus chapter 2, verse 11. The Christian life is in three phases. 1, verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to how many men? Okay, it's already here, people. It was here with through the message of Paul that the grace of God is all man. All man, the grace of God has appeared. We're in a dispensation of, okay, we're in an age of grace that nobody has ever understood until through Paul and his message. Satan has never known this age. And it's what's killing him right now. That's why he's got people out there. He's twisting their minds once you believe that you're saved by grace through faith. But he's putting doubt in your mind and all. And he said, nah, that's just, you just can't do that. I've got to do something. But grace teaches us, grace of God brings salvation. Is that past, present, or future? That we just read.
Present. Oh, that's the
past. Which is it? Is it past or present? All right. Okay, it's just like times past. Times past, God's grace did appear. We understand that through Paul. It's already happened, haven't it? Hath. Done deal. Then the next verse. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteousness, and godly in this, what world? Present world. Is that past, present, or future tense? Future? Very good. Now you're but now. See, you can, in the next verse, looking for that blessed of hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Past, present, or future?
Future
tense. That's waiting to happen. That's ages to come. You can break that little verse down right there and share it with somebody, and it may blow their mind. Because right there's past, present, and future tense. Our blessed hope at future tense. Okay? Then bringing about progressive sanctification, we touched on this a couple weeks ago about true repentance, remember? When you allow this progressiveness of God's Word getting inside you that's equipped you when you're walking in your daily walk, there's some things that it does. One, it brings true repentance. Remember talking about that? And true repentance is a grace teaching you to deny the ungodliness and worldly lust. True holiness is grace teaching you to live soberly in righteousness. That's what grace teaches us. Then we found out go to 2 Corinthians right quick. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. If the progressive sanctification and grace teaches us the true repentance and true holiness, look at this verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 9. Now I rejoice not that ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance. That ye were made sorry after the godly manner, and that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh what? To salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh what? For verse 11, for behold, this selfsame thing that ye sorrowed after godly sort, what carefulness is wrought in you, yea, what clearing of yourself, yea, what indignation, yea, what fear, yea, what vehement desire, yea, what zeal, yea, what revenge, and all things ye have approved yourself to be clear in this manner. That's godly. Godly sorrow works as what? True repentance. And worldly sorrow works as what? Death. We talk about this all the time. Oh my gosh, I got caught. Right? She caught me. I spent $13.33 out of the checkbook. I'm ruined. Okay? Bob's pointing. But think about that. I got caught. That's not godly sorrow. That's worldly sorrow. Oh man, I got sorry I got caught. See? And then godly sorrow would work, okay? I understand who I am in Christ. I repented it, changed my mind, not you got that came up here every Sunday and that type of thing. You repented of your mind and you got right with God. That's true repentance. But worldly sorrow is, oh my gosh, I got caught.
Use cash next time.
All right. I'm slowly but surely building that up, brother. Yeah, cash. But the thing is, and how you respond to that. That's the thing too. The response. Grace teaches you, you are in Christ, I've sinned, I'm responsible, so Lord, help me fix it. Hey, in times past, I said, Lord, if you just get me out of this mess, I won't do it again. The very next Friday night, shucking that money out, doing the same thing. He knew I was a big old liar. You know, he really did. And he didn't get it. You know, the thing is, that's what grace... How much the law says brings shame, rejection, condemns you. Performance does not meet the expectation. We do our kids like that a lot, you know. But I have to remind my kid he's under tutors and governors until it's time appointed to the father, and he hasn't had that Galatians chapter 4 speech yet, you know. So we're leading up to that point. I'm sharing some things, but he was so much wants to be a man. You know, I said, son, you got a long way to go, but I'm giving you some liberty. You know, but he's still under tutors and governors. Okay? This is a response I had to find out. I pulled into work the other day, and one of the top drivers there was talking about something. He goes, I just heard January, we're out of here. They're going to move that company I'm with out of here. Some other company's coming there. I said, what? So in other words, he's telling me in January I'm losing my job. And I'm sitting there, and I've been hearing this for years. And so how do you respond to that? I sent my wife a frowny face. And she, you know, honestly, I'm like, because you know what they're doing? It's warring with my mind. Do I go home and start looking for other jobs? Listen, 27 years, legally driving a truck, I've never been laid off. So I know I can go right out and find another job. You know, that, you know, I'm not worried about that. It may not be what I want, but if I don't work, I don't eat. Okay? And if I don't take care of my family, I'm worse than an infidel. That's what the Bible... So those verses are going on in my mind. So I'm talking to my wife, and I didn't want to share this stuff with her because I don't want her to get worried. And she's a big helpmate. She goes, hey, they got other accounts. You know, they'll put you here, put you there. I said, okay. And you know, instead, I was ready to call the safety guy that used to be one of my bosses and go over top of my boss to find out if it was true. Is that a good thing to do? Nope. So I'm going to sit down with my boss this week and say, listen, tell me the truth. I you know, these rumors are eating away like a canker. You know? He may not know, but yet he's come from another, you know, account. But I hope he's not listening because we're taping this. But anyway, how do I respond to that? Okay, do I just start rejecting and say, you know, this can't be true? Or do I start responding to the fact, hey, I've got several months. I'll just look for the right answers. You know, see what accounts they got. I know some trucking companies down the street here, you know, and all that type of thing. So, if the time comes, I just have to go to them and say, listen, this is what I have. This is what I need, you know, as far as work-wise. You know, Sundays, I got obligations, people. Believe it or not, some of you might. But anyway, I've been faced with those things before. But anyway, how do you respond to that? You respond it with grace. You respond it with the right thing. And then when he tells you, yes, you got 2 months and you're out the door, good luck, find you a job. You know, I've never heard them say that when we went down to 6 drivers. They found, if you wanted to work, they found you places to work. So, hey, praise God. Amen. But look, then we talked about reversionism, how to respond. And this was big. We worked all through that. I'm not going to really dwell on that a lot. But reversionism is, what was that again? You remember what it meant?
Reverting back to your old
self. As if you was what?
Never saved.
And it's responding in grace, in the act of the believer not responding to grace and reverting back to that nature. Human nature is not so complicated, people. We don't have to make it complicated. We respond to the following characteristics. This is how you respond to it. Okay? 1, not operating on sound doctrine from the Word of God. Okay? 2, not being thankful to God and what He made us in His Son. 3, therefore becoming selfish and inordinate, it's me attitude. Okay? This is reverting back to where you was before you saved. Sinful emotional response, fear, shame, rejection, worldly sorrow. Okay? That's the way I could get in a couple months, right? Think about it. I'm going back to where I wasn't saved, and how dare you take my job from me? You know, I could turn as if I was a lost man. Y'all pray for me. But yeah, I could. You put yourself in some situations, buddy. It wouldn't do you a bit of good. If it's going to happen, it's going to happen. You just got, you know, either kick the door in, going in, or they're going to kick it going out. Kick you going out. So, you know, the thing is how you respond. Then all of the above produces little techniques to get around the guilt and shame of defense mechanism. That's what that all about. I got caught. I'm shameful. The performance, avoidance, the shift blaming. Well, you didn't take his job, but you took mine. You found that guy that's 4 drivers under me. You gave him a local job. Now I have to go out to Van Buren and work out of there? Or Richmond, Indiana? True. But what to do to reverse the above what we talked about? Yeah, they didn't turn no bumpers off and stuff. I got you, Bob. Oh, me.
Sometimes Sharon will come back.
It will. It will. Y'all remember too much. But anyway, revert. What to do to reverse this is that you teach sound doctrine. You keep it. You renew it. You stay in it. You teach who you are in Christ and just be grateful. You know that's hard sometimes, isn't it? It really is. I changed my oil and stuff in the truck. You know, I spent $83 for oil and filters and, you know, the whole max and transmission fluid and filters and, you know, all that stuff. $83. And for $21.99, they can do it right up the street. You know, your oil, and I look better than I did. But the thing was, you know, I'm thinking, you know, there's a reason why you pay somebody to do this stuff. Now, if you did all the time, sometimes I repented of my worldly sorrow that I didn't get nobody to do it by saying I renewed my mind to do it. I know Dan now was taking heads off, and he found more problems on his motor and stuff. And he just told me a while ago, I said, well, there's a pull apart over there. He said, you just said the wrong words, pull apart. I'm not pulling apart type thing. He knows it's time and effort, and that, you know, you pay people to do that. But it did renew my mind, like, hey, you know, I was grateful to get up under there and change this and change that. Then it teaches the Christ-ordinated life. Okay? And teaches godly fear and godly repentance. This is how you get out of that revertingism and reverting back to where you was. And then and it teaches you to put on and put off and put on. Bring fruits to God. You know, we say this all the time. God always wants fruits. He's always asked for first fruits. He really does. But sometimes my fruit basket, I reached in that thing the other day in my tractor. And I pulled out a nectarine that when I bought it was already frozen. I didn't realize until you know how you bite in it, it's brown. It's been frozen. But I thought I cleaned it out, and there's one in there, and I reached in there, and my thumb went sunk up about, you know. I'm like, you know. You know, it's just one of those things. God wants good fruits, but sometimes what we produce and give Him, it's rotten. It's nasty. It stinketh. Stick in your thumb, pull out a thumb. Yeah. I sing that quite a bit. Then we looked at the three natures of man, the spirit and soul and body, and how you break down from that. But We just look at a few other things about your spirit. What is your spirit? You renew your mind. Okay, this is your spirit. This is the battlefield. I tell people all the time, right here is where you're warring with everything. You're talking about an unsaved person. What does he think about? He thinks up here. He don't think right here. He really don't. You know, and that spirit is disconnected from God until you hear Christ died for your sins, buried, and rose again, and then it makes that connection, that soul, and now you have access. Didn't we read that? You have access to God Almighty. I mean, that's exciting. Knowing that the fact that you don't have to come up here and see me and ask me to forgive you and all that stuff. You know what I mean? And you don't have to put in a passcode word to get access. How many's forgotten passwords? Yeah. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. You know, sometimes, you know, you put the same one. Every account that I've got, it sometimes it ends up the same thing. You know? And I'm like, this might not be too good. So you go back, you write it down, you go back, and you write it, you know, change, which they tell you that, don't they? Then your soul. Okay? Every one of us is born into sin, and sin works what? Death. And so the spirit is dead, we know that, and the soul is darkened. You may think there's light down there. You may think that you're doing the right thing, but I do know this, God gives you a conscience, and where's your conscience at? right here. So, you know, God, you know, you can know some right from wrong, but your spirit is dead to God. Okay? And your spirit's got to be made alive before your soul can be energized and light down there. That's why that Word of God got in that spirit and you heard it, and it shined light down in that soul and it became alive. Yeah, that's exciting, guys. How many goes bump in the dark and get up in the night? You know, and just look around. Even though you may know your path, don't you still do this a little bit? Yeah. I found out, you know, dogs can lay anything in your path. You know, I mean anything. Yeah. And that dog is not too kind. But look, then your body is depraved. Your spirit, soul, and body. Your body is depraved. It's a body of sin. Okay? It's dying. We're getting old. Okay? We're getting old. And your body's breaking down. You're starting to feel bad, you know, and all that stuff. I know people in here, I look at you, I'm like, y'all give me hope. Because I'm looking at you a couple years older than I am. I'm thinking the things that you're going through, hey, I've got something to look forward to. You know, who wants to be healthy and wealthy and wise all the time? Yeah. You know, I know, that's what I'm talking about. I know your pain. But then, you know, the spirit is dead and the mind is vain, empty, and it sucks in human viewpoint and the world viewpoint. If you're saved, you don't have to open that vacuum up. If you're saved, you got the Word of God in your mind. Then we talked about the natural man. Remember who he was?
Unsaved.
The lost. The believer. How about the babes in Christ? That's the Corinthians. What do you think about the little babes? Are they going to eat meat back there?
No. We didn't bring
one. You didn't bring... I'm glad you didn't bring your blender either, because I don't see you... I don't like string peas or cream corn and... Y'all know that. I don't have... But look, that's the babes in Christ. They got little doctrine. Okay? And you got to teach them and you got to feed them and you got to culture them. Then you got the spiritual man. Who is this? The mature, the doctrine that's built up in their soul, the edifying, the ongoing. You're spiritual. You understand some things. And then you got the carnal mind. What is that? Okay. It's a who?
It's a saved man who's still living in the world and not making a difference.
Okay. That's reverting back to as if he was not saved. They're still saved. And Paul warns us about this stuff, but believers walking as a lost man. That's 1 Corinthians 3:13. And we broke that down about the lost man. We broke that down about the babe in Christ and the spiritual and the carnal mind. Carnal means what? Carnal means what?
Flesh.
Chili con
carne.
That's chili with what? Very good. That's carnal. Carnal mind. Okay? You're in the flesh. That's right. That's exactly right. And the things, you know, we, the body of Christ, our ambassadors, we're official represented in a foreign country for the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know if many of us think about that, but we'll send our ambassadors, political ambassadors, where? All over the world. And they're supposed to be representatives of who? The United States government. And you know, when they don't do their job, they pull them out there, don't they? And they replace them. Okay? I'm not saying... But look, the thing is, that's who we are. Our message is a gospel of the grace of God. It's not the gospel of the kingdom. It's not the gospel of circumcision. Many of you know that. And we need to share that. We need to be confident in that. And the application of grace, doctrines of grace, and then the clarity of the gospel. Okay, didn't we talk about that a little bit last week? How to be how do you present the gospel clear? See, you got to be clear with this stuff. We don't want to give anybody any, you know, leeway that they can find out any other avenues. You take them to the cross. You make it clear. Okay. So the unsaved can be saved. So the saved can be established. Okay? How grace works in the believer. It's the power of grace. It's true repentance. And then the edification process. Listen, you got to stand and get built up and continue to be built up and continue to be built up in your soul where you can stand. Hey, we live in a present evil world, people. Okay? It was going on when from the beginning, if you want to go back to Adam and Eve. And it did not get any better when Paul penned his last epistle. He says we're in the evil days. He was in the evil days. He said all of Asia has forsaken me. Just think, all those churches that Paul established that you read in those 13 epistles, they all have forsaken. How do you like to be that? Hey, many of you have been down that road before, jobs or family or whatever the case may be. I have too in the ministry. It's not fun. It's not fun to think that the brothers and sisters you stood there with and ate with and slept with and all that stuff and ministered with turned against you. You know, it's not fun. But you stand. You don't sell your soul or sell your this message out there. That's why the Bible clearly says, spend and be goodly spent. Okay? Buy the truth and what? That's it. That's it. If you know something to be true, you buy into it. You know, wholeheartedly. You don't do it half-heartedly. And then we looked at the recovering out of reversing them. How do you get those back? You tell them about sound doctrine. And sound doctrine can remove that callous. Because just think of that heart, okay? And you know what a callous is? Some of us work for a living. We know what it is. This joke. You don't have any. Bob don't have one. He's retired. JJ don't have any either. But look, they're calluses, you know, and they're hard, isn't it? You know, it gets hard. That heart sometimes get a callus over, and it takes sound doctrine. It's a sound doctrine. That sound doctrine can remove that. And it becomes positive towards it. And the Spirit of God will give them, you know, give you repentance, changing your mind to the knowledge of the truth. I know I went extremely fast, but next week we'll pick up with the second semester of the class. But any questions or comments before we close?
If there was no eternal, everlasting judgment, why would we be admonished to warn every man? Obviously, you know, the Bible over and over talks to us about consequences of unbelief and consequences of denying faith, denying God's grace. There's judgment for that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's nothing to not take serious, you know.
That's where the warning comes in, isn't it? You know, you can warn somebody that's lost that there's eternal judgment, and you can warn somebody that's saved that there's judgment, eternal judgment. It's, you know, I don't think many of us have been in churches where they always teach, preach hellfire and brimstone, right? You know, every Sunday they're teaching that, and every Sunday you feel like you're unworthy, and every Sunday you're lost. You know, it's sad. I turned on the TV this morning. I was going to tune into Joel and tune into, it said the Trinity Church of God. I turned them on, it's out in the Mansfield area, number channel 12 if you got satellite, and turned it on, and this guy was carrying his Bible and his hair was doing it, but there was no sound. There wasn't no sound. I'm like, where's the sound at? I want to hear this guy talk. And it was just, I'm thinking maybe it wasn't meant for me to hear that. but it was just, sometimes you can turn those preachers on and you get something out of it. But they're always constantly teaching and preaching, turn or burn, that type of thing. And what we need to do as ambassadors, once again, is get rooted and built up in the gospel of your salvation. And be able to teach other people. Okay? And this is serious. JJ, no, you had a question. This is serious. But that these people out there just don't understand some things. But any other comments, questions?
No, that's where we were listening to this fellow I listened to every time on the way up here in Bellevue. You get to listen to him, and it's like, I listen to him, and he's fighting with the law and grace, but it's like you listen to him, and you kind of go, well, sarcastically, it's like, no wonder everybody wants to be a Christian. Or, you know, it's like, it's no wonder why everybody just doesn't become a Christian when you listen to some of these guys. And it's, as a Christian, it's a turn off. And it's like, it's a joke.
How about a sign on the way here that says, God loves surprises, and he loves you too.